Welcome to another episode of Info Pilgrims. I am Jack May, and joining me as always is the lovable, the intelligent, the all-around good guy, David Dolby. David, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, Jack. Thank you for your warm and
that was my exasperated intro.
It was the listeners know it was sarcastic and only half felt as far as all the superlatives.
So you're saying I'm just a monster?
You're a bad person. Just kidding, Jack. You're all right.
Oh, my gosh. Right. I didn't even know how to react to that.
We're hoping. I'll tell you your reaction. You evil cackled. That's how you responded.
That was my
true villain that you are.
That was like a legit.
True or false? Would you like a great white shark pen in your house?
True.
Villain.
Well, wait.
What are you going to use that for?
Not a pen. I want a moat.
Oh, so protection?
Yeah. I like
with
a
great white shark.
I think I'm important enough of a person that I need a moat.
Okay, first of all, false. Second of all, even have some signs up or something.
Hold up. So it starts off, I'm a bad person. I'm not important.
How important do you have to be to get a moat? Like, you got to be a king of a castle.
Dude,
you can't just be a random. I don't want to. You're not random.
I get it. You're good. I'm not offended.
No.
But I think,
we're
like,
over that.
One thing that a lot of listeners have said is, like, how me and you kind of berate each other. And, like, just so you all know, we have, like, a 15-year relationship, I feel like, that we...
Wow, is it 10th grade?
Yeah.
2008.
It's an 11-year, but whatever.
It's a long time.
It's a long time, so, like,
a beration.
I think David is one of the few people, like, I know is not going to be offended by what I said, and I never take what David says seriously.
Because no.
I know he's not doing it to hurt my feelings.
Never.
It's just that's our banter.
I'm trying to make Jack a better person.
Yeah,
I have the tough job.
I'm a
with,
terrible
like,
person with a cackle.
Inspiring him to like greatness, it's like tough love.
But back to the moat. I want to talk about moats for a second.
Let's talk about moats.
So I was listening to other podcasts, and one of the gentlemen actually looked into the price range to have a moat. Apparently, it's astronomical to have a moat nowadays because apparently you have to have it like signed off by so many of these ocean programs or
something. I'm sure there's permits that are involved.
Yeah.
You got to get a permit for
and this
moat.
Guy's a millionaire, and apparently it's a lot of money for a millionaire, so I can't imagine what it is.
Well, I just feel like the original intention of a moat was to prevent like invading armies from getting to your walls. So
now it's just like in-laws. That's what
that's
I'm trying
why
to keep
you
out.
Put the gators in there.
Yeah. But you gotta figure a way to keep them in there too. You have to think about it. Do you have to put like a clear fence up? It's just a huge mess.
If I had a moat, I would be proud of the fact that I had that.
What would you use as the best home defense in today's like world? What would you use?
Probably like a minefield.
A minefield?
Just, yeah, explosive mine. Well, that's kind of like
no.
Drastic.
We're not trying to, like, I'm saying, like, let's make it.
Realistically?
An apocalyptic environment. What would you want to, you know, set up to protect yourself?
Yeah, minefield and automated
turrets.
That's
what I'm saying. It's not disgusting. Yeah. I mean, that's your thing about protecting what's inside.
That's like the modern day moat, I guess.
Yeah.
Explosive.
Someone told me that there's apparently, there is minefields that can be turned on and off in the White House.
I would hope they have something.
Yeah.
I would hope that what we saw in White House Down and what's the other one? Olympus Has Fallen. I hope that's not the extent of our defenses.
If our defense is Channing Tatum, like, good Lord. God have mercy on America.
Well, if we have Channing Tatum, maybe we'll make it, but...
Oh, who's the president? Jamie Foxx?
Jamie Foxx when he puts
Converse?
The Nikes on.
Yeah.
Or is it Converse?
Yeah.
Classic.
Maybe it was Nikes. I can't remember.
It was a shoe brand. That's all we know. It was a scene in the movie.
I don't know. I've always thought about, like, you know, start thinking. I'm not a person who's going to be crazy about, you know, what happens in the outcome of the election, but it's definitely something that a lot of people are talking about, or like, how are some ways we can prepare ourselves legally to defend ourselves? If I can say one thing before we get into this topic, don't booby trap your home. That's actually illegal. That's literally is illegal.
It's
you
illegal.
Can't booby trap. There's been many cases. A guy set up a shotgun that would fall from the ceiling and shoot anyone. Well, someone tried to rob his house. That happened. The person got shot. The guy who owned the house actually got sued because he made his environment not suitable for humans to inhabit.
Yeah, well, it could be habitat. Like a UPS guy just trying to look for a place to deliver.
I honestly am all big into, you know, I like the security systems. I know people are kind of turned off by them and the price, but like, They don't support us, but they're a big fan of podcasts. Simply Safe. I love Simply Safe.
That sounds like an ad, but like we said, they do not support us.
They do not support us.
We have no sponsors.
I would love that. But it's great to have that peace of mind. You know, like if my wife is home alone, she can set the alarm. She's safe. I have cameras inside and outside of the house. There's that peace of mind that I don't think anything else can buy it. Like if I bought a gun and had it in the house, I would still feel uneasy because I wouldn't be able to monitor the situation. And I think being able to monitor the situation as a normal human being, it gives you a sense of control.
Well, Simply Safe, does that alert a law enforcement immediately?
Yes, immediately.
Okay. And then there's not like a, should we wait to go? They just immediately come over. Okay. Nope. That's the best, I feel like.
Yeah, but to have. The reality is, and like, this is something people don't like to hear, is like, it still takes 5 to 10 minutes for police to respond to a scene, at any scene. Well, doesn't matter.
They're not going to be right there.
Yeah, the police are literally right across the street from our house, the police station, and it would still take them 5 to 10 minutes to deploy here because they're not just sitting there waiting for something to happen. They're patrolling the street to make sure nothing is happening in that area.
What's the place in Die Hard? What's the hotel name? Do you remember?
Yakimami Plaza?
Oh, close. Yeah. You're so close.
I'm very close.
Yeah, but how the cop is just at the gas station right across the street. Yeah. And they're like, all right, I'll respond.
Family Matters.
Carl Weathers. Yep. Withers?
Winslow.
Winslow,
yeah.
Man, we're just dancing around all the right words.
Yeah, dude, I feel like to a point, this is a bit racist when we can't get it right. It is, isn't it?
Is it?
I feel like the way I pronounced I feel like that's racist, is it not, in today's climate?
It's
no.
It's just culturally different. Don't imbue the racism on it. It's just like, if I was trying to think of a Yugoslavian town, I'd be like, Polichnotsk something, you know? You're just lining up clues.
You're just trying to do your best.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you can tell there's no ill intent behind
it. No. And that's a valuable point to make.
Yeah, it is, because in today's world, who determines that?
Just because you notice cultural tendencies does not make you a racist.
Yes.
That's the beauty of different cultures, their variety. You wouldn't want everybody to be the same.
No. Well, and that's where the whole sticky situation of cultural appropriation comes along.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I'm not trying to disrespect your culture by dressing or trying to act like you.
Okay.
It's me trying to say I respect it enough that I want to embrace it as well. So it's like, it's a sticky situation because there are people who want to just abuse it for humor.
Right.
But then there's also people who want to appreciate it.
So, Jack, and obviously now we can have no regrets for what we say. We're not hoping to run for office. We're not trying to get on.
Bro, I'm out of the Republican Party come November, so.
Yeah. Draw the line. When is it offensive as far as Halloween costumes, and when is it just in good for in your mind, dude. Where do you draw the line?
Okay, obviously blackface, I think, is a big time out of the question, never allowed.
Okay.
So, you know, I know that there's people who try to defend it, but it's so stigmatized. That's not the right. Ostracized. That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
To do that it's just, what's your point in trying to do it except for be racist or try to be funny?
Right. It's an issue.
There's just
now.
No point. But let's say I'm trying to dress up my niece or my nephew into something from Aladdin. That's not me just being disrespectful. That's I appreciated that movie and that looks cute. Why can't I put my kid in that? But then you have people who are saying, oh, you're just doing it because it looks cute. Whether you don't understand, there's a reason people dress like that. So it's who draws that line? For me, it's I'm not going to not dress someone in it because the only reason is that it looks cute on them. I think that's going in with ignorance.
I feel if you're trying to dress up as another culture or something purposely to demean or to make them appear less.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's perfect. I think that anytime you're trying to do it for comedic value inappropriately, and you know in your heart that this could be controversial.
Yeah.
Then don't do it. What is the point in doing it?
Right. But if you're trying to dress up your daughter as Moana or
you appreciated the culture, the impact of the movie.
You're not making fun of the Polynesian styles. And you're not saying oh, this is mine now. You're just appreciating a character really in a movie.
Yeah.
You're just, anyway, that kind of bothered me because I think people have gotten overly sensitive about that.
Well, and to be completely fair, some of the people that I have the biggest issue with that, like, I don't, sorry. that have the biggest issue with cultural appropriation is Eastern Europeans. Like, they get mad when they see Americans trying to embrace their culture when they don't realize, like, hey, we're, most of us are from Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Why are we not allowed to embrace or utilize certain aspects of that culture?
That's interesting.
That's weird to me because, like, everyone's always like, oh, it's it could be, you know, the Asian community or the African community. I've never seen either of those get mad at a white person for trying to appreciate their culture. But it's normally it's the Eastern Europeans, mostly Russian, Ukrainians, like getting angry that we're trying to even approach it. Like, let me give you this. So we have a candidate, actually a candidate that was on our show, Rich Suggs. He created a campaign banner that was in Ukrainian because we have a large Ukrainian culture. He attempted it. He had someone who is Ukrainian, of Ukrainian descendancy, create this banner for him. Well, apparently it was done incorrectly in the wrong tone in Ukrainian. Oh. And so it's like, they're criticizing him for what this banner says instead of saying, like, he's one of the first people to actually reach out to the Ukrainian community, trying to, hey, look, I want to reach out to your community. I want to work with you. And it's, you can tell his heart's behind it, and not he's trying to mock your community.
You got to see somebody's intent. So if I had somebody I worked with who English was not their first language and they were attempting to communicate towards me, and they said something like real in broken English or choppy English, I would not be like, how dare you try to speak my language to me? I'd be like, this is awesome. Like, you're trying to connect.
Yeah,
to me,
let's work together.
This. Yeah. And maybe people could say, well, that's because you're like the majority, bro. It's not a threat to you. But I don't know. Just think out of your own circumstances. Like, remove yourself from that perspective and just.
I think there's just too much people getting butthurt in today's world. Mm. They're selecting to get butthurt over things.
Yeah.
And there's no point to it.
It's what's in. It's the trend right now. And I think a lot of people get sucked into that idea of like, oh, let's see how they're insulting us. Let's find that. Instead of just being like, is this person just actually just trying to connect with me? How about that?
That is a crazy thought. Let's get a little deeper. Obviously, uh-oh. We had the election come up, and, you know, it's something that's got me thinking. One thing that Jennifer Lawrence, who I never thought would give me
Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who would give me some insight to politics. She said, you know, before Trump, she voted for John McCain. She was quoted as saying she was mostly Republican. But after Trump, she's like, it worries me to see a president that I'm thinking about almost every day. Before Trump, we never thought about a president maybe once a week, if not once a month. But now with Trump in his office, like, the presidency is talked about on a daily. Like, it's just a weird change because it's like, oh, yeah, wait, Jennifer Lawrence, you're 100% right. Why am I thinking about Trump and this upcoming election every day, every hour? It's just being thrown in my face by the media. Like, I can't even watch football today without having a Joe Biden or Donald Trump ad thrown in my face.
Why do you think that it's so much part of the common dialogue now? Is it media enforced, or is it like people's obsessions? Or?
Well, if you speak to most of the people on the right, they're going to say, well, the media is controlled by liberals, so of course they're going to talk negative about Trump every day.
Right.
But I don't think it's that. I just think that in today's world, we're looking for a scapegoat for all our issues, and there's a lot of issues. And like, I think we live in a world where there's a lot more issues per capita per person than there ever was before. And I think that people have more outlets, and so they feel like their voice matters as much as the next person. So they put it out there. And so all we see is every single person's voice and their opinion on something, when sometimes it's a good thing to just keep your mouth shut and not talk about it.
I do think it's interesting that there's so much talk about the president now, because back in the day, at least when you and I were growing up, we noticed it was not that much. Even with controversial elections such as Obama and McCain, and then Obama and Romney and Bush. And who did Bush go against? Kerry for one of them.
Kerry and
Gore.
Gore. That's right.
Even when Bush was president, and you could say like he had a lot of issues that people could have bashed him about. It was not part of the common dialogue. And I don't think the presidency was ever supposed to be something that was so actively talked about by the individual. And I do think you're right. It's like we're looking for a big universal scapegoat for our problems. Mm. And for people who are opposed to the presidency, they can blame it on the president. And for people who are for Trump, they can like find a rock in Trump and be like, this is our guy. This is our guy. Mm. And it's too obsessive. I think we need to not.
Yeah. We're, so cut one up thing real quick. Lift your mic up just a little bit. Cause you're not peaking as much. There we go.
I thought I peaked in high school.
I did. No, I think that, you know, we've spoken on this before. You can just pull it towards you like I do. That helps you. One thing that we've talked about before is social media is a huge aspect as well. It's something that, you know, really didn't hit until, you know, Obama. But like you look back on each president and most people are like, oh yeah, that president wasn't bad. Oh yeah. But I don't know. I think it'll be very, very divisive on how people look back on Trump.
Oh, big time.
I don't think we're going to have even like I look back fondly on the days of Obama because I don't remember really going through much. I don't remember much trials. But again, I didn't have real estate in the 2008, you know,
that's
crash.
True. There was that huge housing crash. Which
a lot of people do not remember fondly. Yeah. So like I get that. But like most people you say like you like would talk to on the street, they'll be like, oh, yeah, Obama was a good president. Like, I mean, I don't really can't think of anything he did wrong. Like that's the majority of people would say that. Whereas, like, with Trump, it's going to be like, oh, my gosh, he is the best president ever. Or it's he's the worst.
It's either, like, we worship this guy or we hate this guy. He's ruining America.
Or you have me, and I don't know about you, but, like, or you have me who's just like, I mean, he was our president. Like, that's how I remember it.
There seems to be a lot of hype about him. Yeah. But we were just, I'm kind of over it.
No, he gave us a $1,200 stimulus check at one point. That was cool.
It was weird times. I mean, the pandemic is historical.
Bro, did you see, not to get off too much of a kilter, but did you see that they're talking about doing another stimulus check and making this one bigger?
Is it because so many people are still out of work?
Yeah. And I was just like, that'll help with
Christmas.
Where
is this money? Will help with
Christmas. I was like, that's a terrible way of thinking. But like, it's so baffling because like we live in Venice. Like, let's be real. Me and your needs are taken care of. Our wants are taken care of. So we don't see these people struggling. So like for me, it's like, cool. Thanks for the money. But like, okay.
No, exactly what you said.
And that's terrible. Mindset,
like, but there are people out there who are just suffering big time.
Yes.
Paycheck to paycheck. Like, I need this money now. And that's happening all across the country.
And it's being pigeonholed in Congress because everyone's getting high on their own farts and refuse to reach across the aisle and talk to each other.
Well, it's also political. It's
that's
all
what I'm saying.
Like,
yeah.
We can't agree with them. I heard that in the nomination of this new Supreme Court justice, a bunch of the Democrats didn't show up or something.
Yeah, because they did to the vote.
Show. Yeah.
Which technically it's, you know, it's tradition. It's not something that has to be done to have that quorum. But I mean, like, it just, it seems
it was like,
like
a media statement.
Yeah.
Like, so people could get, yeah, they stood up for us, or yeah, they won't even show up.
What,
it's just divisive.
Which, and like, I'm just going to drop this. Like, I do respect, you know, Judge Barrett, like the way she handled herself on that stand with the crap being thrown at her. That was very, very impressive to see happen.
I did not like watch much of the court proceedings at all. I was just talking to some people at my work and they were saying like, the way she handled herself and the qualifications she has on a professional level, outside of like partisanship or whatever, she conducted herself respectfully.
Well, you have the Association of Judges basically giving her a like an above average score as a judicial person, which is like unheard of for a Supreme Court justice. And
right.
It's because the last one got it like just an average.
Who, Kavanaugh?
Yeah, well, for obvious reasons. I don't want to get into that, but like,
I like beer.
I think it sucks for her because I think she'll get in. I think the Republicans are going to vote her in on Monday. That's not going to be an issue. But like, it sucks because if this was not during this time, I think she would get a majority vote because most people see her as like, she's very grounded and like, sure, she's a very strong conservative, but she also, you know, is a student of the law.
Right.
And, you know, both sides can appreciate that. I mean, you had Dianne Feinstein say, like, thank you so much for, like, talking to everyone. It's like, this was the most professional environment I've been in a while, Which, granted, that's not saying much because of the chaos that's been around in Congress lately, but it was just eye-opening to see one of the stronghold Democratic people say something like that and then give a hug to Lindsey Graham, who's like her sworn enemy. It was just like, this is how politics are supposed to be done.
Yeah, more of that.
And it was just like, it warmed my heart because I was like, oh, this is sweet. And then it came to Thursday. And we had the Democratic presidential debate, and I was just like, "Oh, it's out the door again. We have to put buzzers on these presidents so they can't talk."
So they were cutting off mics.
Yeah.
Particularly, I saw like a couple times Donald Trump's sentences just like trailed off into the ether.
It was like a bad Chinese movie where it's like they chop off it,
and you don't really know what's going on for a second. You're like, "Wait, what?" And then you hear like the sound reserved in the background. But I will say, I thought both of them did much better as far as trying to debate, like trying to actually not interrupt each other and like let the other speak. It seemed more controlled in that way. The issues that they talked about, if we're just going to jump into the debate.
Yeah, let's
now,
do it.
The issues that they talked about, I think, are the issues that Americans still, that's not what we need to hear. It seems like
It's fluff.
Yes, it's fluff. Obviously, the president is not going to be able to control the effects of a pandemic. You can't expect them to. You can expect certain levels of leadership, and you want like good choices to be made. But to say hindsight, like, oh, this is, if you blame, and I'm not just attacking Biden right now, but if you blame Trump for the deaths of the coronavirus, you can't do that. Like, that's a natural tragedy. You can say maybe he should have done things differently, but nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to do, well, and people still don't know how to proceed.
And I don't want to get too deep into the coronavirus because I feel like we've talked about it so much. But like, it's what we said before is like the president can only do so much. Like you're talking about this nationwide like mask mandate, which he can't do because it's gonna be, as you can see locally, like Venice is enforcing a mask mandate. That's our city. Sorry if you don't know Venice, Florida. They're forcing the mask mandate, which if you don't wear it, you're going to get fined $50. That's not going to be something that the president can enforce. And that's the only thing he could really do at a national level as like as a president. And I think that a lot of attention is brought on him for, you know, his inept attitude during this pandemic. But it's, again, it's like, yo, he's the president. His job is policy. Like he can't control much of what's going on. You know, scientifically, he can't speed up a vaccine. He can only do so much. And again, I'm not trying to defend Trump. Sure, I think there's some things he could do. But then again, I don't know the full scope of law, what he's allowed to do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm taking that reason in my head and I'm putting it out there. It's like, hey, like, we don't know exactly what he can do. And I don't think he's just okay with sitting back letting people die, which is what you're claiming he's doing. Because at the end of the day, he's a human being who I think is trying his best to protect other human beings.
Or at least trying to get reelected.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I think he has little droplets of what's the correct word? Forgetfulness. And he puts tweets out there that aren't the best worded.
No.
That he should just keep his mouth shut and not say. But that's his brand. So at the end of the day, sure, he's our president, but he also knows he has a brand after his... He's not president. He's still trying to protect.
Yeah, and you need a brand in this day and age.
Yeah, and
I'm not build your constituency.
I'm not saying it's okay to be a president with a brand. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't. But I realize that's what he's doing. Again, I feel icky about both these candidates.
Yeah, I just think the bigger point is to make the coronavirus and how you handle it such a big part of the debate is a disservice to the people because that's not how we're going to decide the president. Because Joe Biden will just say, "I will get rid of the coronavirus." And you don't know that he can do that either.
No.
Like, that's not in the ability of one man
to do. You think about it, it's like, as much of our ignorance where we don't see the economic impact of coronavirus because we live in such an affluent area, I do know that there's people struggling. What are you going to do economic-wise to help us recover from the coronavirus? That's what I want to hear at these debates.
Yeah, like, how are you going to prepare America for the economic fallout?
Yeah,
because,
like, throwing money at a problem doesn't always fix it. Like, you need to have foreshadowing. And as much as I disagree with a lot of what she says, AOC has some pretty good ideas on how to recover from this. That if you have the time, please take the time to look at what she's trying to say. I do think she's a little abrasive. I think that's the correct way to say it. But okay. I think that, you know, if she can get her point across, I think it's definitely something that people need to look at. But again, it's, I feel like she's being pigeonholed because she has a D in front of her name.
Yeah.
And it just sucks because, like, I feel like I'm going in this huge circle in every podcast that it just comes down to just shut up and let's talk across the aisle. Why can't we just do that? Like, stop.
Forget the party affiliation and just deal with the issues.
Like, look, I'll talk to my boys. They'll put their guns away. You talk to your guys. You put away your Molotov cocktails away and let's sit down and talk. Like, what's wrong with that? Did I go too far on that?
No, I think it was accurate. I mean, one side has guns, one side has Molotov cocktails.
I mean,
probably.
I'm just looking at all these riots and like, it just, man, my heart has just been broken these past 2 weeks because it's like I want to do something, but there's nothing to do except for vote. This is the only thing. Vote for people who are going to do something to change. And that's why I think diving into your local politics, looking into what your local, you know, political leaders are going to do, what their thought process is, that's huge in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
If I get five people from that listen to this to go out and vote on their own convictions, that's a success in our podcast, I feel like.
I heard it's a busy voting season. Like, there's a lot of packed precincts.
Bro, and that's the thing is, you know, everyone's talking about how Biden has this huge lead, and it's like, this is the same thing about Hillary. I'm holding my breath.
Have they really started tallying the votes already?
No, well, not the votes, but they're like just doing the polls. Data. Yeah, like everywhere Biden has a 7-point lead. But again, the plus minus is like 2 or 3, which basically puts it back at 0.
Yeah.
If you really think about it. So it's just, it's a wash. And so it's like, I'm not going to be surprised if it's a sweep on either side. I'm not going to be surprised if it's close. It's just going to be an election. But look at your local policy. Look at your local standards.
That's the thing. Look at the laws that are being passed and the amendments. And
oh, yeah. You want to talk about losing your freedoms? Look at some of these. We have some crazy laws that, yeah. Like, I want to, like, I'm going to come in next week. I want us to go over these so we can show, like, there's fine print that you're like, oh, we're going to get medical marijuana. But wait, like, no, we're not. Like, it's not going to be received to us for another 20 years. Like, that's what the fine prints will say.
Right.
So it's like stupid little things like that. You got to read the fine print because the first 5 words are basically clickbait on every single bill.
And it's in the fine print where they really get the,
yeah,
the meat of it. I've heard that happens a lot with like privacy acts. And
well, and that's the big thing with Nancy Pelosi right now with the other stimulus bill. She's saying like, you know, we got to make sure the small things behind the scenes are taken care of in the bill. And rightfully so. Like, she's accommodating certain things on the Republican side. And she feels like there's no kickbacks on her side. So, like, she's fighting for what she believes in on that side. And that's something you should do when you're looking at your local policies.
It's interesting because I'm taking this American history class.
That's got to be depressing right now.
Well, it's like I just got to the point where Adams has lost the presidential race to Thomas Jefferson. And Adams was like the last of the Federalist presidential nominees.
He came in third that year, too.
Yeah, to Aaron Burr. Look at Jack with the history facts. He knows his stuff. But
Hamilton, bro.
Hamilton. Oh, the movie. Yeah.
The movie. The play,
the
homie.
Play. Sorry. The musical. Whatever the case. It comes up on YouTube.
Anyways, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But yeah, basically, the Federalists were big on centralized government control. And they were kind of siding more with England, with the monarchy, at a time where England and France were at war. And France was crazy revolutionary. Just went like liberty to the people, kill all the aristocrats. And this presidential election, after Adams lost to Jefferson, Jefferson brought in like this Democratic Republic government. And a couple years after that, they call it the Era of Good Feelings. And it was like where there was no bipartisan government anymore. It was just one party.
Mm.
And everybody was like on the same page. But it was very short-lived. Yeah. And it was even kind of like sarcastic when they said it was the Era of Good Feelings because there's a lot of other stuff going on there. But it was like, maybe we could get back to something like that.
Yeah.
Can we like usher that in?
Well, it's interesting because like that era was very finely divided north and south at that point.
Yeah.
That was basically the first crater in the relationships between, you know, the northern banking systems with the south, with the economic, you know, development communities. And so I think in today's world, it's not a north-south divide anymore. If anything, it's going to be more of like state-by-state basis. Like,
well, you know, the weird thing about, because I was thinking about that too, is like even within a state,
yeah,
it's pretty much
like Florida. You go from basically Orlando up is going to be Republican. Everything south is Democratic.
So I was thinking about this, like, how could people just get around people that they agreed with and not, and kind of separate,
yeah,
and just live peacefully with each other? And you could not divide by state because states are so intermixed, except for some of them, you know, are clearly like mostly red and, yeah, some are mostly,
yeah,
blue.
Yeah, the Texas and Californias.
But there's a lot of interdispersion there. It'd be tough as far as like looking ahead. Because I had a troubling thought. I was like, man,
we're about to have a civil war.
Is the future of America just like state countries? Are we all just going to divide and have... But then I was like, states aren't really unified in their own. It's pretty much like, let's do a Facebook poll.
Yikes.
See which Harry Potter character you are. And,
oh,
then
my gosh,
group up by that.
Speaking of fictional characters, I watched that new Borat.
How was it?
It was...
You don't seem thrilled about it.
So, like, the first Borat, like, I just remember it was kind of like a mockumentary.
Yeah.
Well, like, it was just like, haha, we're making fun of it. This one seemed more very poignant, like, pointed at what it was mocking and stuff. And it was basically mocking the ignorance of United States. Like, I don't know. Like, there's points where, like, Borat got on stage and he was singing a song about how Democrats basically need to have their heads chopped off just like Saudis. And, like, Americans were singing along to it. And granted, I know there could be some doctoring of this. I get that. Like, it's a mockumentary, too. But, like, it just was so disgusting to watch. Because it's like, if there really are people like this in my country, we have so much more work to do. Because I'm not dumb. I know we do have people like that. But, like, to actually see it in action. Like, at one point, again, I'm spoilers alert. I should have said that a long time ago if you want to watch this. There, Borat and his daughter were looking to get breast implants. And again, she's pretending to be a 15-year-old girl.
Okay.
And Borat asked the doctor if he would have sex with his daughter. And he said, well, if you weren't here, I would. And it's just like, this is a mindset that we're okay with as Americans. And it's like, if you really look at it, like, and you look at why Sacha Baron Cohen does these things. He says, he's like, I'm a comedian, but he's like, I like to make people wake up to their surroundings. And this was like a huge wake up to me because it was just like, my country's disgusting. And it starts with a heart issue. I honestly believe that our heart is just broken. I'm not going to jump into, you know, my Christian dynamic, but like, us leaving a religious background is definitely something that, you know, it's the Wild West basically of emotions. Like, we can do whatever we want because we have nothing to be accountable for anymore.
Well, people think that I try to put myself in the perspective of somebody who wants to say there is no God. And the basis of a moral foundation from that is like, humans can rationally decide what's good and they can adhere to that. And you'd like to think that. You'd like to think, like, okay, we can figure out what's good. But what you discover is, like, just like when you play basketball or you join the military or you do anything that requires discipline, letting yourself go, you will not choose the right path.
No.
You need something that comes in and says, do this, do this, do this, do this.
You need a regiment.
Yeah. And because we are, like you said, when left to ourselves, it gets wild. And I think right now it's kind of getting wild. Like, people are just kind of,
and it's like, you know, people, there. I was speaking with a friend recently and he's very, very left leaning and I love him for that. Like, I love that he sticks to his own morals and stuff, but like, he likens like Trump to being like, he is the modern day Antichrist. And it's like, well, if you're going into any sort of mindset like that, you're not going to be willing to adapt and learn and change and listen to that side because you already have this bias.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't like Biden, but I want to sit at the table with him and figure out why he thinks the way he does. And I want to work with him because I love this country and I want it to work. And so it's like, I think our biggest divide is just nonchalance. Like, we just don't want change who we are because that means we have to be a better person.
Yeah, we don't want to look at the problem within ourselves.
Yeah, like, that's the problem, though. That is our problem.
We have to look inside.
I mean, it's we all have our issues. I mean, I have different issues than that. Like, I think I'm very capable of speaking with a Democrat with, you know, respect. But like, I get it. Like, I get where that frustration comes from. I get where the hurt comes from. But if you're not willing to put that aside to listen to the other side, you're not going to get anything done.
Yeah, and it's just going to further the problem, the divide right now. So
let's change the subject to something more like upbeat. Let's talk about how the Heat got destroyed.
Okay, easy does it. My last glimmer of hope of 2020, watching Jimmy Butler take on LeBron mano a mano.
Dude, you know what? It made me feel great because I was like, always being a LeBron supporter, like I could care less about the teams, but like just seeing him get that validation. And I don't care if you were like me who thought that the bubble was, you know, basically an AAU tournament, it's still a championship.
Did it feel kind of anticlimactic when he won, though? It was kind of
there's
like,
no one that's like storming the courts.
No, it's like, all right, finally he did it. Like they beat him. Okay, yeah. 42. Dude,
and they're like, I will give this, like Miami knew how to party when they won their championships.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles championship parades, or not parades, but like their little events, it were pretty lame looking.
Really?
Like,
I of course was salty. I didn't watch anything after the final quarter.
LeBron
court,
just
like I'm done.
They just basically danced around a pool.
Well, LeBron's an old man now. He's gone.
Bro,
he's got to take care of himself.
He saw Bronny smoking that blunt and he was always thinking about it. Like, I can't wait
I'm
to go home.
Back.
I love the TikToks of him like coming home. And
they
so,
had some great memes going so, on.
The best one was like a Bronny sees LeBron get home and he starts to run away, and then like Anthony Davis stands in front of him. He runs the other way. Dwight Howard's the other way. Did you see LeBron take his belt off and chase him?
I will say it made me realize, because LeBron's what, 36, 35? Yeah. That man's been in the finals for like over a decade. Unreal.
Last year was the first time, and I feel like since we've been in high school, he hasn't.
Right, because Cleveland, he was making it. Miami, he made it.
Before that, Cleveland.
Yeah. So, ridiculous era of dominance by LeBron James. Whether you like him or you don't like him, he has been the most impressive basketball player
and
the last
You have to look at it like
years.
Again, his era, his dominance and all of it, like his way of adapting to fit the league each year.
Yeah, because it's changed.
Mind-boggling.
It changed a lot.
Like, he learned how to become a good shooter, like, overnight.
Yeah, and if you think about players like Dwayne Wade, and I would say even Allen Iverson, players who didn't rely on the three-pointer at all, they would not do so well in this league now today, because you have to be able to just jack shots up.
Yeah, because, like, let's be real. I think the biggest probably similarity in gameplay is, you know, Donovan Mitchell to Dwayne Wade today.
Yeah.
And like his shooting is what hampers him on that team.
But I think he did pretty this playoffs. It was insane. He
didn't,
scored like 50 points.
Yeah, but he was playing
shooting a lot of threes.
The steamroller that was the Denver Nuggets.
Jamal Murray.
That dude's going to become a star.
There's a lot of good players coming up too.
Dude,
it's exciting. The NBA and NBA might start in December, which I'm like, what? Perfect.
Oh, yeah, I'm not complaining. I know the players are like, are you kidding me? Like, we get 10 weeks, that's it?
Yeah.
I'm like, suck it up.
We want our sports.
Because, like, I'm trying to watch football. Like, I had all day today, you know, I was doing some school and trying to watch football.
Ew, how did you feel with college football?
It's boring.
It's not the same, right?
So, like, the funneled in, like, noise was terrible. Like, I couldn't hear the announcers, and I was like, I don't think that stadium's ever sounded that loud. Like, that's not cool. I don't know. There's just not the same energy. And I just feel like, I don't know. It's you watch the games and I was like, oh, it's going to be Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State in the final. And then some Joe Schmo in the fourth. And it's just going to be the same as it has been for the past like 6 years.
I think it's cool that they're doing this, or they're attempting the season for the players, because if you're a college athlete, you're like, I have 4 years basically
to showcase yourself. Yeah.
So, but it, as far as from a fan's perspective, it does not seem to be the same. The level of hype.
It doesn't help. And I will say this, I'm putting my biases aside, my teams suck. So it's not fun for me to watch football right now.
Yeah. Michigan letting you down.
Michigan State.
Not good.
So, funny story, because of all the rape allegations, I told my parents. And my
funny story, because all the rape allegations.
Hold up. That's a bad way to start this. Because of all the rape allegations at Michigan State, I told my brother and my dad and my whole family, I'm like, I'm going to choose a new college team to root for because this just makes me sick. And they're like, we get to choose your team. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. But I'm going to do it on Monday. I have I bought 3 hats for 3 colleges. I'm going to switch my loyalties.
Who are the 3?
I'm not going to give that away.
Is one of them Nebraska?
No.
Okay.
No.
UF?
No. Even though I go to UF.
Wow.
I just don't like
UCF?
Your alma mater? I can't.
Didn't you go to UCF?
No, I go to UF.
You went to a central college.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Okay.
Florida.
FEU.
It's called Johnson University today.
JU?
They changed their name.
Let us not forget about the great Clearwater Christian College.
Hey, that's not a college anymore.
Hey, they are not. I tried to Google because I want to go there when I got out of the military. I was like, that must be sweet. Right next to Clearwater Reach. Gone.
I don't even get it. It was like $40,000 a year to go there.
Something happened.
And I was like, who's stealing money? Because the food's garbage. The housing's garbage. What does this cost?
I remember we picked you up from there like maybe twice when you were going. That must have been freshman year?
Yeah.
I think it was your first year. But it's such a perfect spot for a college.
Yeah, but it was trash amenities.
Yeah.
Our basketball court was nice. I'll give them that. Lockers.
It was pretty nice, yeah.
Lockers, meh.
Meh. Yeah, you had those weird, your dorm rooms were weird too. They had the weird like under the bunk bed drawers that are a pain to get into.
I will never share a bunk bed ever again in my life.
Bunk beds are cool for like
not when
4
it's
years.
2 single men in one room and you're the bottom bunk.
From 8 to 12, you think bunk beds are just the best, and then you're like, wait a second.
Especially if you have a younger brother or older brother, because that's when you grow the most together.
Yeah, I grew up in bunk beds.
Me and Danny did too.
But
the best is like were you a top bunk?
I was for a while.
I was top bunk. Yeah. So, top bunk, let's be honest, it was primo. Like, you could wake up the bottom bunk whenever you wanted to.
Yep.
You always have a Nerf ball, and you just reach under the bed.
And then peg him.
Yeah. And they got you're sleeping.
They got to expose themselves to come back at you. Yeah. So you have, an advantage.
Or, there's a small gap in the wall. You fart in it, so it just goes down there.
There's a lot of attack opportunities.
Oh, there was. And, I always just pissed because I was like, well, I don't want to be bottom bunk. You have to jump up there.
You're definitely more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But I did discover, me and my brother both, that you could kick off the bottom layer of the top bunk as a bottom bunk person.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you kick that, you can wake them up. We brought the beds down a couple times.
My brother kicked through it.
Yeah. It was.
I was like, oh my. His
there
got
should be
stuck.
A study on bunk bed shenanigans. Cause, and then what happens when you get older is you're like, I don't want to climb up to the top bunk. That's what happens when you're like 18, 19.
Yep.
You're
and then
I'm
just,
tired of
you
climbing.
You just lay on the bottom bunk and make the other guy have to go up there. Yep. Yep.
You lose the strategic advantage and it's just convenience.
In college, I was bottom bunk. So I didn't like my top bunk guy. I didn't like my roommate. So I put sheets around my wall so I didn't have to interact
your little
with
privacy
him.
Thing?
Yeah, yeah. Because I just didn't want to talk to him.
Wow.
He just sat in the room playing Tiger Woods PGA on his PS4.
Oh. Dude, if you're listening to us, horrible.
I couldn't
horrible
believe it.
Video game choice.
I put Madden in once and he was like, ew, what's that? And I was like, you play PGA, shut up.
Jack, speaking of football.
Oh, boy.
Antonio Brown to the Bucks.
Are you still a Bucks fan?
Now, of all times, yes.
Okay, because you guys winning?
We are winning. Tampa Bay Rays are in the World Series.
Ooh, let's have a hot take. Is Tom Brady holding you guys back? Oh.
I would say he's not bringing us down.
Yeah.
I'm saying we should draft a quarterback this year.
You should just bring back Josh Freeman.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is the one time I wish we had a camera.
No. Listen, I tried to be a Josh Freeman fan, but he had the worst quarterback rating of all time. His first game for who was it? Chicago or Minnesota? I think it was the Vikings. I think it's your team, Jack.
David, I remember that game.
It was historically bad.
He threw 25 passes for 110 yards or something like that. 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
4 interceptions. It was a nightmare. I will say Tom Brady is not what he used to be. Or has he ever been?
I think he is perfect. Now, you have a lot of weapons on the field. Yes. He's going to be that perfect game manager. He's exactly. not going to win you games, but he's not going to lose you
he's
games.
He's not going to lose this game.
Unless he goes for fourth down again.
Oh, come on.
I give him cold. That as a senior citizen moment.
Yeah. I mean, he's up there, and he can throw a nice deep ball every once in a while, but I think you're right. He's not going to win us games anymore.
I'll tell you what. I'll take him over Drew Brees 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, Drew Brees is hitting
Bro,
the shelf.
He hit something.
He hit the shelf hard. He's and it's been like, around for a while.
That's why Mike Thomas is trying to leave him. He's like, really? I don't want to play with this guy anymore.
Where's Thomas trying to go to the Bucs?
No, they're saying he was trying to go to New England.
Balling it out with Cam Newton.
They were trying. They're saying either him or Adam Thielen was going to go there. I was like, Adam Thielen fits way too good with the Patriots.
How about this? Best, obviously, Jack and I are expert sports analysis.
Yes, yes, yes.
Best future quarterback right now. In the league, like best young quarterback prospect.
I mean, what define prospect? Because I mean, Mahomes is only in his third year.
Okay, besides Mahomes, and
so like, we're talking about like the
newer than that, like the last 2 years.
Man, you know it's really hard to go against the boy from Buffalo, good old Josh boy.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He looks good.
He looks good. And he struggled against a good defense. I'll say that. But, like, that dude's got moxie. He's got everything you want. He's already has a fan base that's rabid about him. He's huge. He can take hits. He's got a cannon for an arm. I mean,
yeah,
he's everything run. You're looking for in a quarterback. I can't think of anyone else I would want. I mean, Joe Burrow, yes, but he's going to get killed in Cincinnati. They are not giving him protection. He's a great quarterback, but he's going to get murdered.
Yeah.
He's going to turn into, what was it, David Carr?
David Carr or Derek Carr?
Derek Carr. Derek Carr was the OG.
Yeah. No, David Carr was the OG. Derek Carr's for the Raiders.
Okay, so it's David Carr. Yeah, I was
David
right the first
Carr,
time.
The Texans.
Yeah, 74 sacks in his first year. So it's like, and that's what's going to happen to Joe Burrow's a great quarterback.
Yeah. What about the guy for the Chargers? Do you think he's going to be good?
So, and that's a good question. Herbert? Like, he kept him close in good games. He doesn't make bad penalties, but, like, he's just missing that one more good play. I mean, they're in every game.
Right.
And it's just, like, you're looking for that one more play, and I don't know what it is because he's not a very loud person.
It's interesting to see just because you have – if you think about Mariota and Winston.
Oh, gosh. Remember when they were supposed to be?
1-2. They went 1-2.
Here's First a question. Round. We're just throwing questions out. I want to ask this one. Would you rather have a loud, outspoken quarterback or a quiet, reserved one? I'll tell you mine. I like the loud, outspoken because that means he's a fearless leader. He's not afraid to get in your face.
Yeah, but you have some guys that are loud, outspoken, and they really haven't been that good. It really
well, you have play. Great experience with that with Winston.
Yeah, because
so.
Winston was like he was outspoken. I'm an EW. Oh, come on. You win some, you lose some. Some gimmicks just
you
don't
can't
pan
do,
out well.
You can't do that move and not win.
I'm not... Oh,
David, you got an alarm.
Apologize. It's 10 o'clock. Yeah. It's late. Jameis, I will always love you for that one play he threw to Mike.
You know
Evans
the best part is
Bears.
He's probably going to be great now because he's got LASIK. He's learning from Drew Brees.
He can see.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I
can
see.
Can you imagine that? Like, he was, like...
That's true. He never had a guy that was teaching him, like, over him. Who did he have? Fitzpatrick? Eh. Bruce Arians? Kind of.
Bruce Arians drank paint as a kid. I would take
wow.
very little
Sorry.
Advice from...
Sorry, Coach Arians.
He ain't listening.
Jack will take a lap for that. We'll have Jack run around.
No.
I don't know enough about Bruce Arians. All I got to say is Pop Sunset Grill, our pizza machine's back on. Come in and get a nice flatbread.
All right.
Product pluck.
I think we're starting to get a loopy on this. I think this is where we wrap it up.
Product plug right there.
Oh, gosh. No one's going there. Hey, Johnny Jams, you listening? We want you back on.
Yes, Johnny Jams, bring it back home. We'll do a remote hookup or something.
I just miss his voice.
He had a very soothing voice.
It was.
He was a lot of fun to work with. Just be a Johnny Jams.
He should be coming back soon, right? Because this
Maybe.
Is the time.
I don't know. They were planning on going out west this year.
No.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
You can hook up your RV across the street from my house.
Oh, the invitation.
Look at that. As long as I don't smell the poop, we're good.
Do you go outside much? Not really.
What do you think I am, that dude from Benchwarmers?
Your skin's just looking pale and pasty right now.
It is. That's because I have to wear pants again at work.
What are you doing now?
I am an efficiency manager.
You're managing efficiency?
Yes. Mm. I'm a very efficient person. No, okay. So basically I'm just like digitalizing a whole system. The way they've been doing it for the past, you know, however long, it's just not efficient enough. So I'm trying to make it more efficient.
Remake it and everything.
Yeah, man, but it's not that hard. I love it. I love what I'm doing, which is a huge thing in a job, you know.
It's very unusual. Usually, yeah, people do not enjoy their jobs.
Well, David's drink is ending, so that means this episode is ending, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Again, check out our website if you are local in Sarasota. We have all the candidates, breakdown, their bio, some of their values. It's all written by them. It's none of our words. It's all by them. You know, we reached out. We communicate with them. They gave us everything, including the pictures. That's not the pictures I chose for them. They chose those photos.
Jack photoshopped all the pictures he had of them. They're like, no, we cannot do that.
I put my face in every single one of them.
I do not have a unicorn.
But it's a phenomenal outlet, guys. Definitely want you guys to use it. You know, it's all free, of course. We just want you guys to be more well-versed when you go out and vote. Don't just take what the Republican Party or the Democratic Party tells you to vote for. Do your own research. If that's anything you get.
Shout out to Jack for that, because I had little to no
part in
that.
Yeah, I'm going to be real. That's all me.
Jack did all that. So this guy, say what you want about him and his evil ways, he got a lot of information together for evil the people. Ways. So all right. He just went up a notch.
Before we leave, David, what do you think about these lights? You think it's a little too childish or really dope? You can say
you might
you
be
want.
Asking the wrong guy. I think they're dope. I think they're sweet.
When I put these on and I'm in here doing school, it's peaceful.
He put some LED strips up there, and they look. I think they look cool. Hey, you know, for centuries, for millennials, Jack, the human population lived without the ability to artificially light their environment. Far be it from you to let some cultural standards dissuade you from enjoying the technology and the fruit of the labor of centuries of human development. Get those lights.
I want to leave with this. If you traveled back in time 30 years, no, let's go 100 years, could you recreate anything of value from this time frame? I want you to think about it. I want everyone to think about that, because I cannot. I know I'm going to go back.
I could
be like,
draw that S thing where you draw the three lines and three lines and three lines.
They'd be
in
like,
school.
The prophecy.
Get ready for this.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you guys next time. Until then, let's make America think again.